Listen up or run for cover. Dropping knowledge from the people who have it to the people who need it. The real Robin Bradley Bums is dropping.
What it is. Brad Lee back again with another episode of Dropping Bombs. Today in the studio, I've got not only Albert Preciado, but the new and improved Albert Preciado since his last visit. He's got more money, more babies, more experience. What else you got going on? More everything.
More everything.
It's the new and improved. More muscles.
Better
more
talk.
Cars.
More driven events.
More driven events. Driven 3 coming up, folks. If you don't have your driven ticket yet, you better get on it. We're still waiting on to see if you get David Goggins. Folks, don't buy a ticket just because David Goggins, because he may not be securable. However, you want to go check out the website. Where is it?
DrivenEvent.com.
Go to DrivenEvent.com and check out. If you see old Goggins' picture up there, you know Goggins, the dude that wrote Can't Hurt Me. That dude's a freaking amazing, amazing story. But anyway, dude, you got more offices open now. You got all kinds of shit going on. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, we opened more locations. We just opened a location working on San Diego. But we have eight locations now. We're doing the whole real estate, mortgage. And we have a triangle, which is the third company, which is Driven. When I came here the first time, we were launching Driven. It was going to be the first Driven. How long ago was it the first time? Was it 2017?
Seems like just it was last week.
Yeah. It was like one of the first times that I met you. And we had a Dropping Bombs. And we had it was going to be the first year of Driven. And now what's going on is that it's like a triangle. So each business is flowing business to the other. And it's creating like an effect where it's spreading like a virus, but a good virus. And I just started mastering four of my key principles, which are sales, obviously, because without sales, there's no business. And then systems, which right now has my companies running on autopilot. So deals are closing every day on autopilot. I was gone for a week, and I went to Puerto Rico, came here right after, and just business is running on autopilot because of systems and procedures, which was something that I learned from one guy, Patrick Bedavid, one of my mentors. You know him.
I certainly do.
I learned a lot. And we started incorporating your training services, Lightspeed, which are training a lot of our people. They're turning into generals. They're opening in offices, or they're starting from being a agent to a top producing agent, to building a team, to training a team, to becoming generals, to opening their new locations, which is adding just more locations to the companies. And it's just spreading and spreading and spreading, and on autopilot. And it's really crazy how it's just grown in the last 7 to 8 months. I believe I finally made it. I was telling my team here yesterday, I think I finally made it 8 months ago. Seven, 8 months ago, because
why was that the magical day?
Because after 6 years of struggles, it's pretty much living paycheck to paycheck, living broke, because every time I made money, I hired another person. I made more money, I hired another person. So I would always say, yeah, I had the nice Ferraris, the nice cars, the nice homes, the nice lifestyle, but I was working my ass off to build an army, to build systems, to build training, and then incorporate marketing, invest money in marketing. So now it's just like 8 months ago, it just finally played out to now it's just excess money coming in and very little money coming out. And it's on autopilot. Like, it doesn't require me to be there 100% holding everybody's hands, of course.
Isn't that the dream?
It is. It's life is good. But at the same time, like, once you get to that level, you want to keep pushing. Like, you don't want to slow down, because then your competitors are right behind you trying to put you down. So you have to always stay on offense. And I'm enjoying life right now. Like, so life is great. Having another daughter.
That's right. Congrats on that. What are you going to name her? That's the question.
We were supposed to name him Enzo to match Italia. But now that we found out it was a girl in the party, in the reveal party, now we have to find a girl name. So you have any suggestions?
We'll name her after like a girl car. Like what's a girl car?
It has to be a Ferrari, though.
Why?
Because that's the favorite.
You could call her Mercedes. You could call her Bentley. You could call her Tributo.
That's a boy name, isn't it?
I've never even heard of that name. But dude, so let me ask you a question. After 6 years of struggle, you finally got shit on autopilot. How hard was it to get implemented? What would you tell these people listening going, yeah, it's easy for you to say, dude. Like, what'd you have to go through? Did you grow up rich?
No, I didn't. But I learned a lot of things from you and other people that started businesses from scratch. You know, you like that word scratch, but it's magical. When you learn from people that get a business handed to them from daddy or mommy, it's different than when you learn from somebody that started a business from scratch. That's one of the things that I liked about you, that you have this business light speed, and it's really amazing and mind-blowing how you have everything here. You have it systemized. Like, you have different departments, and you have a lot of employees. How many employees do you have, by the way?
I don't know. It's getting lower.
It's getting lower?
Yeah, because, dude, you always have to innovate. You always have to change. I'm changing things, and you always modify. So right now, I don't know, probably down to 60?
Yeah. But do you remember when you hired your first employee?
Yes.
How many employees did you have to, how many people did you have to go through to get, let's just say 50 to make it
You have to search, you know, you got to kiss a few frogs to find a prince. But at the end of the day, man, you know, the better you get at hiring, the lower that number becomes.
Yeah. So like the way you have your whole operations here, I learned a lot the first time I came here, and I went back. And I started getting ideas from a lot of other CEOs, entrepreneurs that open businesses from scratch. And I got ideas from here, got ideas from other places. And I went back and I started doing my homework.
You implement them.
I started implementing them. And that's one of the main reasons why we are where we are now. Like we have now people that are experts that are hiring, that we hired, that are helping us with websites, with graphics, with now... We have full-time videographers. We have salespeople for every company. We have training with your VT. We have we started implementing metrics. So once we implemented metrics as part of our systems and procedures, every company just blew out of the water. Like every company last 7-8 months.
You know why?
Drives competition, and everybody sees it. When you don't track your stats, you don't grow. And now we're just tracking every single stat you could think about, every single stat that drives production.
Yeah, it's because the old saying, dude, what doesn't get managed or what doesn't get measured doesn't get managed. If you're not watching it, how is it supposed to grow? And if it's on accident, well, that's not a strategy. That's not a process. That's luck, which, you know, again, I'll take luck any day. But at the end of the day, if you really want to build something large and long term, you got to measure things, even to the smallest degree. Like what do you hire a receptionist for?
Receptionist is your director of first impressions. It's the first person that somebody's going to come in when they come to your business. And if they're not great, it's going to affect your business. It's going to affect your production, because people are not going to like coming into your office. Like when you come to your office, you have that. You have a bar right there, right in front of everybody's faces.
Well, that's in case people say no.
You have energy drinks in case people are low on energy.
Well, sure. We don't want no slouches.
You have water and protein bars.
Fiji at that.
Fiji, yeah.
I don't skimp.
People, you're not cheap. You're not cheap with the products that you offer your visitors, right?
That's right. Why would you be?
There's a lot of companies that do that, and it affects them.
Yeah, you go to the other side of the building where most of the employees are. There's pool, table, game room, kegs.
How important do you think that is, like to have the beer and the alcohol for your staff? Is it for your staff or is it more for your guests?
Well, I mean, you know, if you're an adult, you can have a beer on a hot day. We're in Vegas, but you know, if you walk around here drunk as an employee, we'd terminate you. So again, like we're not here to babysit people. I'm trying to create a culture where like adults work. right? And if you want people to work long hours, sometimes you have to work long hours and make it comfortable. But on the other hand, you get all the fancy crap, the massage chairs and the, you know, all the frills, and they're not putting in the work. Well, then that's when you start to realize, like, dude, it's not the frills that brings people. What brings people and keeps people are the systems and the processes. It's the ability to allow someone to leave feeling like a winner. Now, how do you feel like a winner if you don't know if you're winning? And how do you know if you're winning if no one's measuring your results, your productivity? So believe it or not, systems and processes, you know, measurement, systems and procedures also actually cultivate a better culture.
Yeah. You asked me a question that's really important. You asked me, like, how has it been these last 6 years? Like, has it been a struggle or the ride to my last 7-8 months that I'm telling you about, that I just, my life just changed completely? My first 6 years, and this is a question for you, like, I battled, I'm serious about this, I battled heart attacks. I really feel that I battled heart attacks because of all the pressure that I had on me to keep my my team alive, my employees alive, my offices alive, agents alive, my wife, to keep that to protect the fear that could go into your wife's head, growing, having babies on the way, and all that stuff.
Well, that means you've been fucking.
It's a lot of pressure that you deal with, because I remember your story when you needed $50,000 to keep your business running and you figured it out. But my question to you is, do you ever feel like you were close to maybe collapsing? Did you ever end up in the hospital because of the pressure?
Not physically, no. I'm not smart enough to be pressured. Like, you know, I'm one of those guys that I'm always confident that things are going to work out, even if Lightspeed didn't. Like, dude, I mean, I own Lightspeed. Lightspeed doesn't own me.
Yeah.
So if Lightspeed crashed, dude, I just pick something else up and run the ball down. But I was just never pressured. Like, I don't feel that pressure. It's weird. A lot of people say, dude, it must be stressful. I'm like, nah, not really. They're like, well, what'd you do when you did this and when you did that? You know, I don't know. Like, it wasn't such a marked time in history. A lot of people, it was. Sometimes I envy those people that can, like, remember certain dates and feelings. Man, someone asked me the other day, you know, how things are difficult. And I'm like, things have never been really difficult. So I don't remember those things, dude. So I don't get pressured.
You never get stressed from business?
I get more stressed because I can't figure shit out. You know what I'm saying? And you go pay the experts all the money and they come in and they don't know shit either. And then you find out they're not experts. They haven't built a huge ass company. They're just freaking making money teaching companies how to do shit they don't even know how to do. So I get stressed sometimes just like walking on a treadmill. I think I should already be a billionaire. I mean, dude, I kick myself in the ass every day. Right now I'm implementing some things right now over the next 3 months that is going to probably 5 to 10 times the company's revenue. And, you know, even though we make a lot of money, we spend a lot of money. And would you rather have a $20 million a month company that nets 80 grand or a freaking $2 million a month company that nets 1.4?
The one that nets the most.
Exactly. So at the end of the day, it's like, that's what stresses me out. It's like, come on. Like, I make more, I spend more. I make more, I spend more. I didn't invest in real estate. See, all the numbers you were talking about last night, all the growth and whatnot, you're not even counting the equity in the properties you own. That's not on those lists. And you don't even think about those. Just like if I owned a piece of property over here, I don't know what it's necessarily appreciating. I just know that it is. And we don't even count that. So because you were smart, dude, you started buying real estate. You started putting it in cash flow assets. So you learned young. I just started learning that. Now I'm just starting to like look for cash flow assets. I wish I did it back when I was freaking 25.
So by
the time you're my age, dude, you'll probably be freaking way farther ahead than I am. But it's not because you're smarter. It's because you had better information, better coaching, and you were smarter about taking it. I wouldn't listen to anybody.
You thought you knew everything?
No, it's just, you know, I just wanted to learn for myself. Like I didn't seek out books. Of course, again, nowadays everybody's an expert. Everybody's got a book. Everybody's got a seminar. Everybody's got a workshop. So it's easier now for people to seek that information out. Social media didn't exist. You can look on social media and find somebody that's like a big real estate guy or a big systems guy. You can find experts nowadays where you couldn't find them before. There was no social media, bro.
Well, you know, Driven, the reason why we had you, why we had Patrick, why we had Grant and Ty Lopez was because those four things are the formulas that I found that took me to that next level, which are sales, training, systems, and most importantly right now, the Ferrari. Yeah, Ferrari marketing. That's the reason why I got the Ferrari, because the Ferrari actually made me a lot of money.
Yeah, so you believe that if you didn't have that Ferrari, no one would listen to you?
Exactly. I don't believe it. I know it.
So if you didn't have a Ferrari, nobody would listen to you?
Including you, yeah.
That's not true. I didn't know you had a Ferrari.
Well, it got your attention.
No, it didn't. I didn't even know you had one.
But once you found out, it got your attention.
No, it didn't. I thought it was cool because I like Ferraris, but I would have liked you if you had a freaking Lexus.
Well, if I would have came here...
Dude, I'm the real Bradley. You know what? I keep shit real. But just like you can have a freaking jet, 10 Ferraris, and if you're a dick, I don't like you.
What about people that come here and just waste your time, and then they say, I'm going to get your services, and then they can't even pay $5,000, $10,000, or the $40,000, or whatever the fee is for your service. When they pay you, that earns their respect,
yeah,
right?
But you gotta kiss a few frogs, bro. I mean, you got to talk to people. More hands you shake, more money you make. Yeah. Sometimes you got to talk to those broke fucks to find the rich ones. But then again, you know, I've had a lot of people stroke a check that never did shit either. So I've had people that came in that freaking didn't have much and built a lot with nothing. And then I've had people come in with a lot and didn't do anything with it. Like, you know, I won't say their initials, but I know a dude that like could have made zillions of dollars, millions of dollars with his VT. Never mentioned it. Just kind of floats along. Nobody even knows it exists. I tell people he's a client and they're like, he is? I've never seen it. Well, yeah, we're all keeping it a secret apparently. So dude, I'd rather have a young, hungry dude with, you know, difficult to come up with 10 grand. I just know that, you know, especially with online training and things of that nature, you're going to need to market. So I'd rather have someone that's savvy about marketing, has the resources, because then it's easier to achieve what you want. You don't have to, you know, run around and try to find creative ways to do it. So I would rather have someone with money than no money. But I know a lot of people with money, they don't listen.
No,
they're not doing the right things with their system. They don't leverage interactivity. They're not doing half the shit they should be doing. So how do you pick? But I don't like people because they have Ferraris.
Do you think that the reason why they do that is because they have too much money? Like, for example.
Yeah, they don't care. They got fat and happy.
Yeah. So like, I'll give you an example. Somebody that could compare to a person like that, because I know who that person you're talking about is. But there's you asked me a question in the beginning, like, what's changed? My mentors have changed. I started off with a millionaire mentor. He barely was able to take me maybe to 500,000, but then I got a multimillionaire mentor and he took me to millions. And now into today, like what changed the last 12 months from today was I moved into this 10,000 building where you've been there. We pay about $20,000 a month to rent. Seems like a lot. It's stupid for a lot of people, but it wasn't stupid for me because what I was paying for it was the environment. This put me in the place where I met a multi-billionaire. And I became his friend, and he invited me to his office, showed me his operation, which is similar to your operation, similar to a lot of people that run real businesses. And he became my mentor. This guy's worth $4.3 billion. He owns all of, like, a lot of LA, pretty much like half of LA he owns. He's really wealthy. And who do you want to take advice from? Somebody that's worth $100 million, $200 million, or maybe somebody that's worth $4.3 billion that tells you real estate is the way to go. He's teaching you how to create his own, like create a business. So this mentor just gave me a bunch of ideas. He just injected my mind with powerful data. And that's one of the biggest reasons that my life has changed, because I've never been scared to just put money on the line. because I'm buying the environment. I'm buying the friends. Like, I bought your friendship. I bought Grant Cardone's friendship. I bought Patrick's friendship. By throwing money at you guys, I got your attention, and then you guys became buddies. And now, like, I get more time, and I learn more.
Yeah, but dude, you didn't buy friendship. At least you didn't for me. You bought proximity.
Same shit.
It's not the same shit, because you could have showed up like a fucking douchebag, and you wouldn't have bought shit. You would have wasted your money, because I would have found out you're a douche. And I would have fucking ignored you and kicked you to the curb and fucking made jokes about you. So you didn't buy the friendship. You bought the proximity, which is really what you're trying to say. You weren't afraid to spend the money to get around the people that freaking are moving and shaking, and now you're moving and shaking, and he's exactly right, folks. Too many people sitting there worried about spending money, and that's why they're not in the 10,000 building. That's why they're not, you know, hanging out with the old B-meister, which, by the way, whether I'm richer than any of them is irrelevant. Time isn't done yet. Number two, I'm the coolest motherfucker, you know. Tell the truth.
Yeah, you're...
You know I is. You know I is.
Hey, so...
Hold on, let me make a point, because the bomb squad needs to hear this. Too many people out there holding on to their money. Like, again, these events, people keep asking me, who should I listen to when I go to these events? I'm like, first of all, dude, you shouldn't be worried about who's talking at the event. You should try to figure out who's going to be attending the event, and are those the people you would need to be around to either bring you up, make collaborative deals. You know, you got to get in the right rooms. Proximity is power, and you can't be afraid to spend money and make investments. That's why if someone said, should I go to Driven 3? Who's speaking? Who gives a shit? Who's going is the question. Because if all the best people in the world were speaking and there was nobody there but you, and then they left and walked out when they were done, you wasted your money, really. But if you can sit there and shake hands with the people that stepped up and paid the same amount of money you did, they're in the same mind frame you are, right? They're like-minded. They're into personal development, self-development. They're looking to win and succeed. They're willing to show up, make investments. All that's good, man. You want to be in those rooms. You want to hang around those people. And what Albert's basically saying when he says he bought our friendship, and dude, it cost you a lot more. People, you can buy my friendship, but it's going to be a lot more than what Albert did. You got to like at least come up with like 10 million. 10 million, you're going to be my buddy no matter what. Like, even if I don't fucking like you, you give me 10 mil, dude, we're buds. And I'll even tell everyone, we are buddies. I'll hang out with you. Not for like long periods of time, but you give me 10 mil, bro, we're buds.
I have some pretty cool strategies, though, on buying friendships.
How do you do that?
We just got to get creative.
But what you really mean is proximity. Because when you say you bought friendships, dude, it makes it sound like everybody's fake.
Yeah, well, you
like
got to...
Like Grant, dude, you didn't buy his friendship. You bought proximity, and now Grant likes you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't buy his friendship because, dude, there's a lot of people that spend a lot of money to be around Grant, and they don't get to hang around Grant.
What about Patrick's?
Well, Patrick especially. Like Patrick Bet-David, he's the same way, dude. He doesn't like everybody. He doesn't take everybody's FaceTime calls. You know what I'm saying? He'll take yours because he likes you. So you didn't buy his friendship. You bought proximity, and then you earned his friendship by being a good ethical dude. That's what I would say.
Yeah, and then when you get the ideas from these mentors and then you don't execute, you lose the respect from these mentors. But when you come back and you come back better every year, you come back better every 6 months, you come back better every 2 months, doesn't that gain respect?
Yeah, it makes people, well, again, depends on the mentor. Some mentors would hate that. They'd be like, damn, this motherfucker, he's out there about to pass me. But good ones, yeah, dude, we don't want to waste our time telling people shit that they're not going to listen. But then again, those are usually like the type of people that aren't implementing. They just want to like be there. So at the end of the day, you've went and executed on shit. Driven 1, Driven 2, Driven 3, you wanted to be a speaker. Everyone said, fucking, who are you? So you're like, fuck it, I'll put on my own event. Boom. Now, most people would have been afraid to spend that money. They would have been afraid to spend that money. And then guess what? When you put on your own event, then you had Grant show up there. You stroked him a check. Patrick, but David, was he there or no? Maybe the second one?
Second one.
But point being is, dude, now the speakers, because when you're the event coordinator, like you run the event, those speakers walk up to you because basically you hired them. So now they're going to talk to you anyway. And again, if you're cool, well, now you're in business. I'll give you an example. Damon John, Cody Grand Adam, you heard of him? You've heard me talk about him. He does probably 30 to 50 million a year in lights. He has a factory in China. Like, we never want to make anything in China, dude. Cody's our dude. Big old bearded duck dynasty looking motherfucker. Dude, he donated, I think, I don't know what it was, like 10 grand or something to go hang out with Damon. And yeah, a lot of other people did too. They're not fucking Damon's buddy. Okay. Damon and freaking Cody are now buddies. Why? Because Cody invested the money where most people are afraid to, but he's also a good dude. You see the difference? So I just want to make sure I'm giving clarity, because you guys can go spend 10 grand to get next to someone and still get kicked out of the circle. You can still not freaking win. You have to freaking actually take advantage of the situation, listen to the information, apply the information, and most importantly, be an ethical dude.
Hey, but really important, you gotta have some big balls.
Yeah?
You gotta have some big balls, and can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I could hear you now, but remember the time when you had the 50,000 that you needed? Can you just share that story really quick? Because that relates to driven.
Yeah, but there was 1,000 of them. But the story you're talking about is dude, there's been some times where like people call, like I call it light speed fate.
Yeah.
It's been happening for years. Every single time I'm about to be smashed, something would happen. But the 50 grand you're talking about, I didn't get it. I didn't get the 50 grand.
How long ago was that?
Like in the beginning. I told my buddy who had the money, give me 50 grand and I'll give you half the company, because I needed 50 grand. And he didn't give me the fucking 50 grand. And so he doesn't have half the company that would have just paid off big. Now, that was the 50 grand. However, there's been times where I needed like 75,000 for payroll within like 2 weeks or I was screwed. Week goes by, I'm out there hustling, trying to figure out how am I going to get this money? How am I going to get this money? I'm making deals. I'm knocking on doors. No deals are coming in. Like 3-4 days before the payroll was due, and I was going to obviously have to tell everybody, hey, your checks aren't going to clear, which has never happened in 20 years. The phone rang. I pick up the phone. I'm like, hello. Hey, so-and-so and da-da-da. And next thing you know, it's a customer that I'd pitched freaking before that finally just out of the blue calls. And I'm like, okay, let's make a deal. And they're like, okay, how much was it? And I'm like, it's actually $76,250. And they're like, okay, well, why are you the money tomorrow? And it's like, son of a bitch, dude, there's payroll. So there's been a lot of close calls like that.
What years were these? Were these like the first 6 years, first five yeah, years, first 3 years?
I'd say first 5 to 10. But keep in mind, I was also ahead of my time, dude. Like right now, interactive virtual, first of all, right now, online training's blowing up huge.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you know, $500 billion industry in the next 3 to 5 years. Everybody and their dog realizes that online learning is actually better in most cases than live. Why? Many reasons, but everyone's starting to realize it. Dude, I started this 20 years ago when no one was doing online training. Nobody had a course online. Nobody was selling their expertise. Nobody. I damn near started the whole fucking thing. So when you're ahead of your time like that, like, dude, you really have to have grit, because if I'd have started it now, dude, I would have blew up much quicker. But nobody even knew what the internet was when I got started. Literally, people didn't have websites. You'd knock on doors and companies did not have a website. Nowadays, if you don't have a website, dude, you're probably not even real. There were no iPhones. There weren't even any cell phones, I don't think. Maybe there were. I got to think. But anyway, where were you going with that?
Well, because this is the reason why most people don't make it in life big. Like 99% of the people are just scared, and 1% of the people have the balls to take those big risks. And let me continue with this.
That's right.
Driven event, first driven event, and this is I don't share this that often, but I want to share it here because it relates, and your story inspired me to make that first driven like a reality. Because when I was doing driven one, I remember I was here and I told you about my multi units. I told you, hey, I have about 18 units. I'm selling all of them. I'm gonna make that money, and I'm gonna buy more. And I did that. And I always, I'm never scared to create more income. And then I take risks, and then money comes when you least expect it. So I didn't have the money to put Driven together because my money was tied up. So I was broke. Driven first, I didn't have the money. But I came back inspired, and I said, I'm going to put Driven together because that's my dream to speak on stage. I want to make this shit happen so that I can, like, the people that were hating on me motivated me to go do it. So I put it together, and I said, you know what? I have enough money right now to give Grant his deposit, and I have enough money to give the Ritz their deposit. Let's just commit, sign it. If we can't fund it, we'll lose the money. And guess what? When I gave those deposits, all of a sudden now ticket sales are coming in like that. And money's coming from all over the place. People now, and money just, we created money.
Sponsorships.
By having that idea and having that execution because of the courage that I had. And we put it together, we funded it, and then our business blew up from there. My social media blew up from there. Second Driven even more, and now the third Driven. And that's what happens when you have that courage to just commit and then create money later.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to give you another bomb. So 6 years, were you broke?
Yeah.
You lost your house.
No. That was 2008.
You were jogging around a neighborhood.
6 years ago, I had the idea to start a business. And 6 years ago, I started the business. But when I started the business, I was making more money.
That's when you were the mortgage guy.
Yeah.
I was just the guy.
The guy. So
you were the mortgage guy.
The mortgage
guy. Now what are you?
The mortgage guys, because now we're building a company like Patrick.
You're scaling.
Patrick Bedavid told me the mortgage guy is a $10 million company. The mortgage guys is a $1 billion company. So we added the S to scale.
Yeah. What did I tell you about that when I met you?
You thought it was a great idea.
I said, dude, if I were you, I'd be freaking having a little training system to train people how to go do what you did. Because you were the mortgage guy. You knew how to do it. You did it successfully. How do you go get 10 other offices open? Just take a little piece of each of those offices.
Yeah.
And dude, that's what I'd be still doing. Okay. My assistant says, we've got to wrap this up. Now, in the history of the world, we've never wrapped it up. But since Albert has a flight to catch here soon anyway. Albert, what would be the top three things you would be wanting somebody to know that's out there in the position you were in? They're scared. They got a little bit of money, but not a lot. You know, maybe they got kids. Did you have kids? No, you didn't have kids 6 years ago.
No.
So did you have Syl 6 years ago?
Yep.
So you had a good solid chick on your side, willing to stick with you.
Yeah.
Well, what gave you the huevos?
You know, ever since I was a little kid, I've had the courage because it's a long story, but my childhood. But you have to have courage. You have to have courage, and whether you have 5,000, 10,000, or 50,000, or 100,000, you have to put it all on the line, and invest that money, and go all out, and that money will pay you a lot.
Look, let's bring. Hello, Melissa. You're on Dropping Bombs with Albert Preciado.
Oh, hello.
What's
my
up?
My two favorite boys.
That's right. You're my favorite. You're my favorite girl.
Other than Syl, he means, babe. Or who knows? Maybe he doesn't. Hey, so I only wanted to answer because I wanted to make sure you weren't on the side of the road stranded.
I am not. Have fun. I love you.
I'll call you shortly.
Goodbye.
Bye, girls. See, I always got to answer the call when my wife calls because you never know. You never know what's going on in this world, this day and age, and she could have been stranded on a freaking side of the road.
That's right.
And you'd answer Syl's call, wouldn't you?
She called, but I told her to hop on the live. but that's number two. That's number two, having a supporting wife. I think a supporting partner. If you don't have a supporting partner, I don't think you can make it. And I think the billionaire.
Now, see, I wish we had more time because I'd jump into that one. Because guess what? There's a lot of people out there. They DM me for advice. I give advice. I'm on Instagram all the time. It's me answering. If you have questions, throw them at me. I love answering questions. But they always ask that. How do I get my partner on the same page? Dude, you sit your partner down and you decide where you want to go. If they don't want to go where you want to go, sometimes, and again, I don't know everyone's circumstances, so don't just take this as blanket advice. Sometimes you got to blow those people out. You got to decide what you want to do and make yourself happy, because you could be literally 20 years later, miserable as shit, with or without money, it doesn't matter, miserable as shit because you didn't make yourself happy. And that's what you need to do, is make yourself happy, because I've never met somebody's wife who was completely happy unless the individual was happy, or vice versa. I've never met a happy wife with an unhappy husband, and I've never met a happy husband with an unhappy wife.
Hey, Brett, and really quick.
But I have met a lot of single dudes that are happy as a motherfucker. Know what I'm saying? Just trying to be funny, because Albert, by the way, he doesn't laugh. Like, he'll only smile once in a while, and I'm a funny dude, and I've caught him smiling and laughing a couple times. So, dude, if I can't make him laugh and smile, who can? Who makes you laugh and smile? Nobody.
I got to laugh. It has to be funny for me to, like,
even look,
laugh.
Even
have
look
a real
at
laugh.
Straight business Tovar, like, this your girl, Steph Tovar. Like, she don't even freaking talk. Like, she'll walk in, you got something to talk about? No? Oh, well, then I'm busy.
Yeah, because she's a Sharky, you know, like Kobe never smiled.
Is that right?
Kobe was always on attack, so you want to be on attack and you want to execute.
Did you learn that from Tim Grober?
Yeah, yeah, one of the guys.
And by the way, how'd you meet Tim?
Through you.
That's right.
How'd I meet Ty Lopez? Through you.
How'd you meet me?
Environment. I bought you.
How'd you meet me?
But
you didn't buy me, bitch. Hey. You ain't got enough money to buy me.
Hey, but really quick.
But how did you meet me?
Through Grant, being at the 10X conference.
Proximity.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, folks. Listen, pay attention, folks. Success leaves clues. Go follow Albert Preciado at The Albert Preciado on Instagram. Go to Driven Event. He's got a lineup of speakers there that are going to be some sweet information. But more importantly, dude, a lot of freaking good people in the audience.
One quick thing, Brad.
Yeah.
None of this would have been possible if, besides the courage part, this is courage, but without real estate. When I was here
that technically means you owe me half of the real estate you got, right?
Well check this out.
Why are you always trying to be greedy?
When I came here the first time, you know, I had about 18 units. I sold most of them, and that netted me $2 million plus, $2 million plus. So now I had $2 million to play with. And if it weren't for real estate, if it weren't for me to get that 3-unit property when I only had $3,000 in my bank account, and I took a risk, and that was a 90-plus-day escrow, and the agent hated me, the seller hated me, but that I knew it was going to be a 90-day escrow. I got extension. I got another extension. And that $3,000, that's all I had in my bank account when I got my 3-unit property. That turned into $2 million plus. And because of that $2 million plus, I was able to invest it, buy buddies, buy bigger projects, create other businesses. And that's why I am here where I am today, because I invested in real estate. So that's one of the key things. That's what kind of made me where I am today. And that's one of the things that we teach at Driven, and one of the things that I like to help people learn, real estate investing.
Yeah, and let me tell you guys something, folks. If I could start all over, I wouldn't recommend you buy buddies. I'd recommend you get around people and then earn their friendship through, you know, normal human connection. However, I would recommend real estate. If I could start all over, dude, I'd already be a billionaire. I've spent more money trying to impress people than you can imagine, and it was all a waste. If I just would have been smarter and learned back then, like, can you imagine if I started buying real estate when I was 25? Do you know why fucking Grant's riding around in his own G5?
Real estate,
dude. He learned it at 30. He's 62, dude. That's 32 years of living broke. He had a couple $1 million in the bank driving a Camry. He wasn't buying watches. No one knew he had all this money. He saved his money. He worked hard. He put it in real estate, kept putting it in real estate. And every time it turned, well, now he's got $3 million. Now he's got $10 million. Nobody really knew it until he really started having some real money. And boom, real estate, real estate, real estate. And there's a lot of ways to get into real estate. There's a lot of ways, but you know, cash flow assets. And it doesn't have to be real estate, dude. Do you call hotels real estate? Because I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, well then, again, hotels. I'd love to own some hotels, commercial buildings, actual dirt. You know, I don't mind dirt. I talked to a guy worth, you know, $4 or $5 billion at this last event I was speaking at. And he was in the audience. It's this thing called Secret Knock. A lot of very successful people just go to listen to who's there. This one guy, I forget his name. I wish I knew it, but he said the 8 mile rule. Albert, here's something you can learn. Ready? Then we got to go. He said, go to the center of town, right? Draw a line 8 miles out in any direction from the center of town. Buy that property, plant vegetables, rent it to farmers, do whatever you need to do, and just wait for the city to grow, because eventually somebody will come out there and your property will be worth way more than you paid for it. Now, he just buys dirt. He doesn't buy anything else. He says, I go to any town, draw a line 8 miles out from the center of town. And again, obviously, if 8 miles, there's still more, you know, it's a big city, well, then keep going. But at the end of the day, get outside of town, buy the property. People are going to grow out there.
Hey,
folks. Yeah.
Hey, this billionaire that I talk about, Fred, $4.3 billion, he bought dirt 2001, and it went up $140 million in 19 years. Now he owns like where the Staples Center is, a Food for Less, all that in downtown LA. He owns all of that. $140 million.
You got the hookups? In 19 years. Can we get VIP parking at Staples?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, sweet. Folks, go follow Albert at The Albert Prasciato. Go buy tickets to Driven Event. Go to drivenevent.com. Go to Driven 3. It's one of the big annual kick-ass events that are rocking. Thousands of people show up ready to rock and roll, make their lives better, and you could be right in the middle of it. Also, go share this podcast out. Quit being a greedy bitch.